morning, Active Church. We are so glad that you're tuned in and you're joining us on Church Online. You tune in on a great Sunday because we're starting a brand new series, and I'm really excited. The series is called Faith Over Feelings, and I don't know about you, but in this season, my feelings aren't always trusted. I can't trust my feelings, and so today, I'm really excited because we get a chance to really unpack this idea of how do we live out faith when our feelings seem to be so left and to the right. Our feelings can kind of pull us down the wrong places sometimes. And so today I want to help you trust faith over trusting your feelings. If you are leaning in this morning, I hope you have your Bibles out. I know we're on Church Online, so you're in your living room or you're watching from your device. Get out your Bible, kind of lean in. I want us to, and even on during worship, next week when we lead worship, I want you to enter in. I want you to know that we are trying to, we're going to have church in our living room. So when you have next week, when the music, worship music comes on, I want you to stand up. I want you to clap your hands. I want you to get excited. I want you to really press in. And so as we're doing church online, I believe that you now have a sanctuary in your living room. So let's lean in today. I'm going to pray right now, and I'm going to believe that while we are not here physically together, I'm preaching to an empty room, but I'm believing that we're together online, that we are together virtually, that we're together, we're having church, and I'm just believing that God is going to speak to you this morning. So let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get into our message today. Father, I thank you so much. God, I thank you that you are a God, Lord, that is above every single thing. Lord, the word says that your name is above every other name. And so today, God, I ask that you would speak to your people. Use me as a conduit for your Holy Spirit to speak. God, let us walk away from this time closer to you, filled with hope, filled with inspiration to live out our faith in Jesus, to walk boldly for you, God, and to be a people that will call on your name, people that will trust your name above everything, every other thing in our life. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for Active Church and all the people that call Active Church home and those that are watching online today. We love you so much. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. All right. I want you to do me a favor. Look to your neighbor in your living room and say, don't trust your feelings. Okay, if you didn't do it, that's okay. I forgive you. But I want you to not trust your feelings because here's the deal. You have no good reason to trust your feelings. You have no good reason to trust your feelings. Now, there's nothing wrong with feelings. I have feelings. We all have feelings. If you're a human being, you have feelings. That's what makes you a human. So we all wake up with feelings. We all go to sleep with certain feelings. This morning, you might have woken up with a certain feeling. Maybe you were excited for Sunday. You're excited to go to church online. Maybe for some of you, you woke up and you were immediately hit with all the COVID-19 news. You grabbed your phone instead of opening up the Bible app. You grabbed and you scrolled through Instagram. Instead of grabbing your Bible off of your, you know, nightstand or your devotional, maybe you went for, you know, the Twitter feed or the news app. And I get it. We're all kind of hit with these different emotions and these different feelings right now. But what I want to encourage you is that we all have feelings, but we can't trust our feelings. Because some days I wake up in a really good mood. And I'm like, I just got a pep in my step. And other days, I just want to hit the snooze button till noon. I don't want to wake up. I don't know what it is. There's times where my feelings are good, and those are great. I love good feelings. But then there's other days where I could wake up, and I could be feeling so good. I could be in the best mood, and by the afternoon, because circumstances affect my feelings, by the afternoon, I'm ready to throw in the towel. Am I speaking to anybody this morning during this sheltering in place season? Now, we all have feelings, but here's the question. why should we trust our feelings? I know people all the time that say I'm not talking about innate intelligence. That's okay. We all have innate intelligence. We all have divine guidance from the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that we're not to be sensitive to those feelings, but I think what we need to realize is that we can't trust our feelings alone. Maybe when you got up this morning, you were flooded with all the what ifs. I get it. There's a lot of unknowns even now as we're looking at the news and we're looking at trying to make sense of everything. And maybe you're feeling a little bit unsure about the future. Maybe you're looking at your, maybe it's less health related now and more economic related. Maybe it's you're looking at politicians and you're like, wait a minute, are my rights being taken away, or is this a good thing, or is the cure worse than the solution, or the cure worse than the disease? You know, like we're looking at all these different kind of things, and we're feeling a certain way. And I just think in this season, we cannot trust our feelings. We all want to feel good, but what happens when we start feeling worry, discouragement, anxiety? Listen. What we have to remember today is this. Feelings are not facts. I'll say it again. Feelings are not facts. Feelings are real, but they're not reality, okay? So your feelings are fickle. Your feelings are subject to circumstances. And as soon as the circumstances change, suddenly I might not be feeling the same way. Maybe, we think, well, maybe a new toy will fix this. So we go out and maybe you're on Amazon late at night. Don't do that. Maybe you're flipping through your iPhone on Amazon. You're like, if I just bought this, maybe I'd feel a little better. Some of you guys have Amazon boxes flooding to your door today. Like you've been serial shopping on Amazon, because some of us, when we feel a certain way, we use things to make us feel better. Maybe you're like, if I could just get a new truck or a new vehicle, and you've been looking at online these different cars, like if I could just get a different type of situation, then maybe I'd feel different. And we all do this, don't we? We all, if we're not careful, we can all be kind of slaves to our feelings. And so here's a question for us. Why should we trust our feelings? Let me tell you this. If feelings were a person, you wouldn't trust them. If like feelings were a person, you wouldn't trust feelings, would you? Why? Because feelings lie. They lie to you. Your feelings lie to you every single day. They tear you down, right? Your feelings tear you down. They tear others down. Some of you guys are in the, have you seen like those memes on Facebook and Instagram, like how you look at your spouse after day, 30 of quarantine? You're kind of just like, as like the woman giving the evil eye to her husband. Some of you, your feelings are allowing you to be tearing others down right now. While you should be building people up or letting our feelings in this season of maybe feeling like we're stuck in place, you might be letting your feelings run your life right now. Feelings tear others down sometimes. Feelings are not dependable. They'll ruin your day. The one thing that might be separating, and this is something I need to tell you have a destination you still want to arrive at. After all this is said and done, there's still a desire that you have in your heart. None of your goals and your dreams are gone. They're just kind of put on pause, it feels like, right? What you want to accomplish, you wanted to start that new business, you wanted to go here, you wanted to do that thing. It kind of feels like it's on pause, right? Let me tell you something. After this is all said and done, if you don't understand this principle of feelings, trusting your feelings over trusting faith, if you don't conquer this feeling thing, if you don't try to every day hold yourself accountable to God and say, am I trusting my God or trusting feelings? If you don't decide today, then what's going to happen is this. Some of us are actually having these feelings, and these feelings are separating us from obtaining clarity and peace in this season. And what's going to happen is if you continue to make feelings your trusted advisor, you will actually be holding yourself back from the things that God wants to do in your life in this coming season, because feelings can't be trusted. Now, some of us have been putting way too much trust in our feelings during this pandemic. And what happens when we have no control is that we desire control all the more. Have you noticed that? When things begin to get out of control in your life, you will find the things that you can control, and you will do your best to kind of control those areas. Now, what's the antidote? The antidote for trusting feelings is found in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs is known as the book of wisdom. If you want to read a great, great book in the Bible, look at Proverbs every day. I love it. I read Proverbs every single day, and there's one for every day of the month. And you can look at Proverbs 3 today with me. Open your Bible if you have your Bible. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. This is one of the first memory verses I ever kind of committed to. I committed this to memory because when I read it, I thought, that is so good. Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And I used to read it real fast. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he'll make your path straight. And I'm like, yeah, got it. Because, you know, you memorize John 3:16, or you have a memory verse. And I memorized it, but I realized something. The second half of the verse, or I'm sorry, verse 6 doesn't work unless you do verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then we go on to say, and lean not on your own understanding. But the first part does, if the first part doesn't, that first domino doesn't hit, none of the other dominoes fall down. So here's what I'm telling you. The antidote for trusting your feelings, come on, I'm about to preach. The antidote for trusting your feelings, or for not trusting your feelings, is to trust the Lord with all your heart. To trust the Lord with every bit of who you are. That word heart in the Hebrew, it's translated to the word lev, L-E-B, or lev in the Hebrew. And what it means is it's the center of who you are. It's the place where you have feelings and emotions. It's the place where you go, I don't know where this is coming from. That place in you. Where you emote all of your feelings. It says trust in the Lord with all of that. Don't put it in your feelings. Don't let your heart trust in your heart. No, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on what you can understand. Now, trust in the Lord with all your heart. You're like, okay, sounds good, Pastor. Got it. Check. Easier said than done. I get it. This is a Me Too message. I'm still trying to figure this out because I don't hit 1,000 and neither do you. So we're all in the same boat, right? So how do we do this? How do we trust in the Lord with all our heart in the shelter in place season? You have to trust in the Lord and not your feelings. Here's how I know you shouldn't trust your feelings. If you're a parent, every parent watching this morning, you've had at some point during this shelter in place, you felt like kicking your kid outside and letting them play. Go play out all day and come home when it's dark. You felt like, some of you have felt like choking your child. And I'm just kidding, but you felt like doing something to your kid. You felt like saying, I don't want to be around you. Just go do something else. Maybe some of you have done that. Maybe they're outside all day and they come home when it's time for dinner. But what I'm saying is, some of us have felt like doing some things during this season that if we would have allowed our feelings to dictate our actions, we would have been like, oh my God, and thank God you didn't choke your child, and thank God you didn't kick him out. Thank God you didn't lock him in their room. You are not being led by your feelings, but all of us have tried or have allowed our feelings to some degree to become our trusted advisors, and we have to fight against that and trust the Lord. Amen? Now, we got to have faith over feelings. We have to have a faith over feelings mindset. What you're thinking about determines what you do. What you're focused on determines where your actions will be. Now, I'll show you this in Scripture. Habakkuk is a book of the Old Testament. and a minor prophet. And in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17, we see this amazing mindset shift. We see in the midst of a really, really difficult season in his life. You have to remember, this is an agricultural economy in this day and age. What you produced determined how you lived. It was your income. So you have to put yourself in the mindset of someone that is literally reaping what they sow. They literally have to make a profit off of what they produce. Sound familiar? There's people right now that have been sowing or have been sowing in the past, and now they're not reaping anything. As a matter of fact, maybe you're here today and you're tuning in and you're like, I've invested. I thought the crop would come. I thought this job was stable. I thought I was doing all the things I could do. And now suddenly, because of this COVID-19, I have no control over the fruit of the land. I have no control over what's happening in the country. I have no control over what's happening. So what does Habakkuk do when he can't control the rain? He can't control the ground. He can't control what's happening. Here's what he does. Habakkuk 3, 17 through 19. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines. In other words, ain't no fruit. Nothing's happening. Though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food. There's nothing good happening. He's saying, what I see physically is it's bad news. Fox News, MSNBC, CNN, all the major, NBC, ABC, I'm scrolling. None of it's good news. If I could contextualize it in our day and age. None of it's saying, hey, there's going to be rain. Hey, there's going to be crops. He's looking at things going, the fields produce no food. How would you feel if you're Habakkuk? I'd be like, oh no, my kids are going to starve. We're not going to have enough. All the emotions, all the feelings that you typically try not to trust in would start telling you what to believe. The feelings start coming, but here's what he does. Watch this. He says, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, watch this, verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. Yet I will. We need a yet I will kind of mindset in this season. You know what? Hey, I know I can't go where I want to go. You know, I can't go to work. I'm not going to be able to provide enough. But you know what? Yet I will trust in God for my every single need I have. Yet I will believe that God is going to get me through this season, that I'll be stronger. Yet I will believe that I will be more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Yet I will. We need a yet I will mindset. Someone needs to amen me right now. That's good preaching. Now, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll be joyful. What does he do? He's not letting his feelings inform his decisions. He's deciding to have faith over his feelings. Some of us need to stop trusting our feelings and start trusting the Lord. God wants people to trust him, not their emotions. He says, I'll be joyful, my God. The sovereign Lord is my strength. What's he saying? He's saying, I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not, industrious enough. I don't have enough. What only God can do. So guess what? I'm going to put my trust and my hope in God's strength. I'm going to put my trust in God's provision. I'm going to trust God over everything I see, because what I see in the physical is not the same things that I see in the spiritual. And some of us have to realize that. You come to church and church is great. But can I tell you something? It's like halftime. This is halftime. The game's out there. The church has left the building. You are the church. You are the body of Christ. You are the living presence of God. God has breathed his spirit into your life. You are the holy temple of God's spirit. And now you are walking, breathing, living out God's hands and his feet in this world. Active church, God needs you to be hope this week. Active church, God needs you to be joyful this week. Active church, God needs you to stand up and say, you know what? This is my situation. Yet I will be a person that walks in faith because my God has given me everything I need to be more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Come on, somebody. All right. Preaching to an empty room, but I know I get an amen somewhere. All right. Yet I will type of attitude. Yet I will. Here's the thing. Here's the rub. And I'll warn you, because you know this is true. You've experienced this. The minute you decide to have a yet I will type of attitude, your feelings will begin to plot against you and talk you out of what you've already decided to do in your heart. Am I speaking to anybody? Like, the minute you're like, you know what? I'm going to start really sticking to my budget this. Man, I spent a little bit too much on, you know, food, or I spent a little bit too much on this. I shouldn't have bought that, but I kind of needed it. But now I look at my bank account, I'm like, I shouldn't have. You know, you kind of get clarity, right? Maybe you have a budget you're going to stick to, but here's what happens. Your feelings talk you out of what you really want. Don't they? You're like, I got a budget. I want to stick to it. I want to get out of debt, start saving up for a home, or start, you know, paying off that college loan. But I feel like going in on a spending spree on Amazon and for stuff I don't need. I read an Instagram post yesterday, and it was talking about TJ Maxx. And the girl's like, is anyone else missing TJ Maxx? Thinking about all the candles to be smelled, the shirt that you'll only wear twice. Like some of you are missing those opportunities. God's like, hey, this is a good thing. Your budget is now a little bit more clear. But here's what you want to do, but your feelings want to spend. Maybe you really want to be healthy and look better. Summer's coming. You're like, hey, hashtag Beachbody. Hashtag no more dad bod. Hashtag let's do this. So you want to feel better, look better, and I want to eat better. So guess what? I also feel like smashing that whole bag of Doritos in my cupboard after everyone goes to sleep because they're delicious. I don't know what they put in Doritos. It's addictive. But just being honest. Maybe I really want to grow closer to God, and I want to feel like God is with me, and I want to, you know, you see people, and do you ever have those friends that every time you talk to them, you're like, dude, they're like, how you doing? And you're like, I'm doing all right. How are you? They're like, I'm doing so good, man. I just led someone to the Lord. And man, I got a vision. Actually, I had a dream last night. And then the Lord confirmed it through three people. And you're like, are you Jesus? Like, you have those friends? And they're like, I just want to be able to make it through the day without sinning. Have you ever been like that guy? Like, I just want to be able to make it through the week without getting upset and having road rage or having, you know, waving at someone with one finger. Like, I just want to feel a little bit better than I have last week about my walk. And maybe you say, okay, I'm going to grow closer to God this week. I'm going to set my alarm for an hour early so I can have quiet time with God. But then I feel like hitting the snooze button 7 or 8 times. And then I actually roll out of bed with like low-key guilt because I know that I didn't do what I wanted to do because my feelings talked me out of what I really wanted. So where are your feelings lying to you today? Where are your feelings beginning to lie to you? Where are they deceiving you? Where are they trying to get you to go that you don't want to go during this shelter-in-place season? Because I know for some of you, your feelings have been taking you down all the wrong roads. And those old friends, anxiety calls up depression, depression calls up fear and worry, and they all come hang out, and we're left with, I feel like when I go to church, I feel, man, I'm like a warrior. I feel like I could take on the world. But then Monday or Tuesday comes and I feel like giving up. I'm here to tell you, yet I will make a stance today. Say, God, I'm taking a stance. I'm deciding that I will not back down. I will not give in to the feelings. I'm not going to trust my feelings. I'm going to trust my faith. And every single time I feel like my feelings are pulling me away, I'm going to go right back to your word because that is the source of strength in my life. By the way, little plug, go on to activechurch.org, myactivechurch.org, and click on the SOAP Daily Devo. We have a daily reading program that we started, and it's going through the entire New Testament, most of the Old Testament, and then all of Psalms and Proverbs. We want you to read your Bible every day. Why? Because that's the source of strength. If you feel like you're going down the wrong, if you feel like your emotions are pulling you the wrong way, let's get back in the Word of God. So you can go on to that, click on that, tab, and then download the weekly, or it's a monthly guide, and you can stay in track, and we will read the Bible together, and it'll give you kind of a template to follow. So do that. Feelings are lying to you. Nothing wrong with feelings, but they can't be trusted. Now, we have to be principled in this season. What does that mean to be principled? Church, you have to make, my pastor says, he says it like this. He goes, Adam, I make all my decisions based off principles. He goes, principles are true anywhere, anytime, any place. Principled living means that I live like this because I know it's a value of mine. So therefore, I don't trust my feelings. I trust the principles that I've already predetermined to be true. In other words, if you are making decisions based off of how you feel every day, based off of how you want to, what you desire, that's not principled living. So what does that mean for us to live with principles? What does that mean for us to live and make decisions like we are living principally? So here's what it means. We can't run off of emotion. As followers of Jesus, emotions are good. Emotions will help us. Emotions are, and there's nothing wrong with emoting your feelings. But you can't just be fueled by emotions. As followers of Jesus, we are called to be in this world, not of this world. If we are going down this world and operating like everybody else around us, right now there's people that are still panicking. People are still afraid. We are called to bring hope. You're not called to be fearful. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, and sound mind. That's what the Apostle Paul told Timothy. Why did he tell him that? Because he knew that there would be a time and a place where he would feel fear. And he's saying, no, that's not who you are, Timothy. You're not called to be that person. I'm here to tell you, church, you're not called to be a person that's running around fearful, full of shame and guilt. You are called to be more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. You are called to live with power, love, and a sound mind. So God's given us that so that we can be impacting the world, but not like the world. We can love those in the world, but we can be a model, an example set apart so that people will go, what's different about her? What's different about him? Oh man, I don't know what it is about you, but man, I just, there's something different. And you can say, man, there's nothing different about me other than I've put my hope in Jesus. I trust in God, and I don't live off of my feelings. I live off of faith because my feelings lie to me, so I don't trust my feelings. I trust my God, and I build my life off the solid rock, which is Jesus, and I read his word. Talk about countercultural. As everyone's panicking, we're called to bring hope. We can be honest, but we can also be faith-filled. We can tell people, hey, I'm scared too. I'm worried about my job. I'm worried about our company. But you know what? I'm also faith-filled. I believe that my God can do all things. You know what? I'm concerned about those that are hurting. I'm concerned about, you know, hospital workers, and I'm praying, and we're doing everything we can for our community. As a matter of fact, because of your generosity, church, on our website, we have a place where people that are in need, because you give and you're generous, we actually can take care of the needs of our community. People can go onto myactivechurch.org, request help, and get food, get commodities, get what they need because of your generosity. So praise God. Thank you for your support. But guess what? We are being the hands and feet of Jesus, because that's our job right now. It's not to feel like everyone else is feeling. It's to lead with faith and to say, God is going to get us through this. I don't know how, but I know God is going to get us through this season. Can I get an amen? Now, we got to be principled. We have to be value-based. If you don't anchor your thoughts and actions in your values, you'll be tossed back and forth doing things and looking at things that you don't want to be doing. Now, I think about a story as we close. I read a book about, I think, 9 years ago in college, 10 years ago, actually, and it was called The Generosity Factor by S. Truett Cathy. And S. Truett Cathy, as you some of you know, is the owner of Chick-fil-A. He's the founder of Chick-fil-A. He's gone on to be with Jesus, but he wrote this book, and it's kind of an allegory, and then it has a couple principles at the end. But the big thing about it is that he, as a business owner, a few decades ago, was like, "Hey, we're gonna make the best chicken sandwich, the original chicken sandwich." Although that Popeye's chicken sandwich is almost as good, not quite as good. But he said that, we're going to honor God by not having our business open on Sunday, closed on Sunday. You're my Chick-fil-A. No, I'm not going to sing Kanye, but you know the song, the Kanye song. But they wanted to close their business on Sunday because they wanted to give their employees an opportunity to attend church and be with their families on Sunday. So they made a huge, huge, huge principled decision rooted in the value that we want to be a kind of culture that values God's attending church and being with your family on Sunday. So they said no church or no Chick-fil-A on Sunday. Now, from a business standpoint, that's kind of crazy. I'll tell you why. I'll give you an example. On Super Bowl Sunday 2019 in Atlanta, the Super Bowl was played there, and it was at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. Remember this? And there's a Chick-fil-A in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia. There's a Chick-fil-A in there. Now, you know they knew about this for months, probably over a year. They knew there's going to be literally 60,000 people wanting a chicken sandwich in Mercedes-Benz Stadium on Sunday. What did they do on Super Bowl Sunday at the Chick-fil-A inside of Mercedes-Benz Stadium? Did they open up for just one day, just a little, just 8 hours? Nope. They were closed. Why? It was Sunday. From a business standpoint, not smart. We might be thinking, wow, really? Like, you can't just one day, like, not just like a little, like, just a little bit of a, you know, can we just back up on that just a little bit? Nope. Not even one. They didn't waver. Why? Because it was a decision that wasn't rooted in a feeling of, oh, this would be cool if we did this. Oh, you know, it'd feel nice if we helped our employees. It'd feel great. No, they were like, we are going to honor God no matter what. It's a principle that they live by. So guess what? They honored God because they believed that if they honored God on the Sabbath, that God would honor their business. And you know what? He did. Here's the facts. According to an article I read on entrepreneur.com, here are the facts about that decision. Check this out for you kind of like business people. Chick-fil-A earns more profit per unit than any other restaurant in America. What? The stats from 2017 show us that Chick-fil-A makes approximately $4 million, $4 million per unit annually. McDonald's is second at $2.6 million per unit annually. Third is Starbucks, about $946,000 annually per unit. They have over 2,300 units nationwide, and they make $4 million a unit. That's almost double what the next competition makes. Why do they? And that's with taking a day off every single week. What if they would open Sunday? And you know there's been times where they talked about, hey guys, leadership conversations. They're like, hey, executive meeting. You know, there's a marketing guy. There was an executive. There was a financial officer. There was a financial consultant that was like, hey guys, you know, I'm looking at our model and it's great. I'm looking at our financials. They're solid, but man, we can make, like, we're losing out like 14% annually of profits. And you know what? There's someone in that culture. This going, you know what? I know it feels like a good idea, but we're living off principle and faith, so we're not going to do it. It might feel good in the moment, but man, we are principled people that make decisions from our faith, not our feelings. We as Bible-believing, Jesus-loving Christians can never allow our feelings to rule our lives. I used to live like this. Maybe some of you are still living like this. I would go from feeling to feeling to feeling. I would try to find joy from, I lived without Jesus for 21 years of my life. And I found temporary joy, temporary satisfaction from a lot of different things. They always made me feel empty at the end. I would go from relationship to, I'm going to go be a snowboarder and move to South Lake Tahoe. I'm going to go try this activity. I'm an enthusiast. I like to try new things. If I could get really good at this, I've always been pretty naturally talented. So whatever I try, I pick up and I pick up pretty quickly. I thought this will make me happy and it never did. If I could get that car or that thing or whatever, that high, I would feel so good. And I would feel like, man, my life is where it needs to be. But it always left me feeling empty. You could write this down. You can't always control your feelings, but you can decide your actions. You can't always control your feelings, but you can decide your actions today. You can decide what your actions are going to be during this COVID-19 pandemic. You can decide whether you're going to be a person of faith or a person that's ruled by feelings. Make a good choice this week. Ecclesiastes, I'll close with this, says this, verse 4 of chapter 11. He who observes the wind, he's talking again about this agricultural mindset. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. In other words, if you're going out every day before you go out to your crop and going, I wonder if I want to go plant seeds today. And you're looking at the wind and you're looking at the sky. And you're like, it doesn't look too good today. The wind's kind of blowing. I think I'll do it. Like, in other words, if you're constantly looking at the physical and you're only using that as your kind of gauge to whether or not you're going to go and take action, if you're feeling this way and your actions are not being followed with positive things, he's saying this. If you go out, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. Verse 6, in the morning he commands, go and sow your seed, and at the evening withhold not your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. He's saying, don't live like this. Observing everything around you in the physical, and then be, you know, hopefully, you know, something good will happen. No, he's saying, don't live like that. He commands us in that next verse, go out in the morning and sow your seed. And at the evening, don't withhold your hand. What's he saying? In the morning, get after it. Like, stop waiting to feel like getting after it and just decide to get after it. Stop waiting to go, okay, when I feel like going and working out, then I'll go and work out. Guess what? Like, there's times you don't feel like it, especially in this season when your routine is all wonky. When I feel like going and cleaning the house, then I'll go clean the house. When I feel like cleaning out my car, vacuuming it, because I can drive through the thing real easy, but it's the whole vacuum part, right? I don't always feel like doing the vacuum part. No. I'm going to do what I'm set out to do this week. I'm going to not just wait for my feelings. I'm going to choose faith. I'm going to choose God. I'm going to say, God, I'm not going to wait for me to feel like this. I'm just going to do it. I'm not going to wait for my feelings to catch up. I'm just going to live my life. I'm going to sow every single day. I'm here to encourage you today, inspire you. I want you to come out of this season better. I want you to come out of this season with not feeling like you've lost something, but I want you to feel like, man, my faith has grown. I'm coming out of the COVID-19 pandemic with more faith, with being a better follower of Jesus. I'm not just, and it may not even look like doing a bunch of things, but it may just mean not letting your feelings rule your day. Not letting your feelings adjust every single thing you do. Let's be people of faith this season. My son, so cute. His birthday was on the 15th. And he closed his eyes and he prayed this prayer before he blew out his candles. And my son Brixton, later on, he was looking at my phone the next day and he's like, Dad, do you want to know what I wished? And I was like, well, you're not supposed to say, son. It's kind of like, you know, it won't happen or whatever. And he like looked really bummed that he couldn't tell me his wish. So I looked over and I looked at him. I whispered, what was it? He said, Dad, I wished the virus would go away. Or he said sickness. I wish the sickness would go away. And I said, me too, son. And I think about that. And I think about my actions in this season. I think about how can I redeem the time? I know I can't, Lord, I pray that this virus would go away, Lord. I really do. We all do, God. But what could we do in this season? What actions could we take this season so that when we come out of it, we're better, we're not bitter, we're healthier, not bummed. There's a rule called the 5-second rule, and you might have heard of it, and it's not the one where you drop your food and then you have 5 seconds to pick it up. That one's gross. But it's a different one. Some of you guys are like 10-second rule. You don't care. But the 5-second rule is that you have 5 seconds when a good thought comes into your mind, when you should do something, not to hesitate. You have 5 seconds. The Bible talks about let's do good while we have the time. Let's not let idle time get to us. Like, do good. When you have a good thought, speak it out over somebody. When you have a great gratitude well up in your life, like, text that person. Tell them you love them. Tell them you're grateful for them. You have 5 seconds, and here's the 5-second instinct. It's basically you have 5 seconds or else your brain tries to kill that thought. You feel like doing something good. You feel like getting your running shoes on. You feel like being a person that's going to be healthy or a person that's going to encourage someone. But if you don't do that next thing within 5 seconds, so it says you have 5 seconds. So the trick is you go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. And you do that thing. You write that text. You send that email. You get up. You start moving. But if you don't, your brain will go up. Okay. And your feelings will begin to talk you out of that thing. What would it look like this week if you told your feelings to take a back seat to your faith? What would it look like if you didn't trust your feelings and instead you trusted God this week? What would it look like if you began to defeat the feelings that are trying to defeat you? I'll say it again. What would it look like this week if you began to defeat the feelings that are trying to defeat you? It would look like trusting in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all of your ways, and he will make your path straight. So excited for this series. We're going to help you choose faith over feelings. Thanks for tuning in. Let's pray right now. I want to pray for you wherever you're at. Close your eyes, bow your head. I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you so much, God, for your word. I thank you, Lord, that we're not people of just feelings. We're people of faith, God. So this morning, I ask, Lord, that you would show us how to be people that choose faith, that we wouldn't let our feelings guide and lead us, because our feelings, they cannot be trusted, Lord. Help us to trust you. Help us to trust you above all other things in our life. Let your voice be louder than all the others. And God, right now, I pray for anyone watching right now, and maybe you're online, and as we're praying, I want to give you a chance. Maybe you've been a slave to your emotions, to your feelings this week. Maybe you feel like, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to trust. I want to encourage you this week, if that's you, and you don't have a relationship with Christ, none of this will work. You might try really hard. You might try your best, but if you're not in a relationship with Jesus, all this, your best works, your best effort is going to fall short. Why? Because you need the God that when you hit the end of your road, when you get to the end of your strength, you need a God that's going to take you the rest of the way. It's in his strength, not in your own. And I want to give you a chance to receive the power of God, to receive Jesus into your life. But you have to, he's asking you to come in. He knocks. The Bible says that he stands at the door of your heart and he knocks. And anyone who enters him or lets him enter, he will come in with and eat with them. So if you'd like to receive Jesus right now in your, where you're at, in your home, watching on your device, bow your head, close your eyes. I want to lead you in a prayer. I want you to repeat after me. Say it out loud if you can. Say this with me. Just repeat this prayer. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for dying on the cross for me. I believe that you are the Lord. I believe that on the third day, you rose again. And today, I put my trust in you. I believe in you. I thank you. You are a good God, and I surrender my life to you. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, hey, if you said that prayer, we're so grateful that you are you're now part of God's family. We want to connect with you. On our website, there is a connect card. As Josh said, you can get connected by clicking that connect card and just let us know who you are. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to give you a gift. It's a book called Fresh Start with God, and we just need to be able to get a hold of you. So if you made that decision for the first time, or you're making that decision again because you've been kind of wandering, welcome back. Welcome home. We're so proud of you. And if you're tuning in today and you just need prayer, we would love to partner with you in prayer. On our website, you can click on that connect card and just type in your prayer. We'd love to walk with you through this journey as we're navigating this season. Well, as always, we want to give you a chance during this time to respond with tithes and offerings. Thank you so much for your generosity. You're making a difference, church. You can give online at myactivechurch.org. And we believe that the best is yet to come. So church family, thank you so much. Make sure you tune back in next week for part two of Faith Over Feelings. God bless.